Hey everyone, Ellen Wells with the Just Veggies podcast. I am also author of the Just Veggies blog here at plantersplace.com. Today's episode of the Just Veggies podcast is about the 50 foods in your own garden. Now, I'm recording this in April of 2019, and that actually is significant because a few weeks ago, there was a report on NPR that was aired and also published online, and it was about another report entitled The Future 50 Foods, 50 Foods for Healthier People and a Healthier Planet. Now, this report on a report was funded by the Worldwide Fund for Nature, formerly known as the World Wildlife Fund, and also funded by Knorr Foods. And this report found that 75% of food people eat globally comes from just 12 plant sources and 5 animals. And just 3 crops, you can probably guess what they are, wheat, corn, and rice, make up 60% of plant-based calories in most diets. Now, from a food security issue, this is a big problem and quite dangerous. Because what would happen if, say, a disease or pest suddenly appeared that could completely wipe out the global supply of wheat or rice? The article on NPR also explains why repeatedly growing the same crops on the same land using the same commercial agricultural practices is a detriment to the environment and to a human population that they say will hit 10 billion by the year 2050. That's a lot of people that have to be fed, and we're using so few plant sources. Now, you can go online and search for the Future 50 Foods and to read it and get a better understanding of the study's purpose. But I want to explain to you that you can do your part in growing some of those 50 foods. And there's also a list attached to that article that lists the 50 foods. Quite interesting stuff. So the study's authors researched foods from all around the globe to determine which are good for the planet agriculturally, while also being highly nutritious for humans. They came up with 50 plant-centric foods. They're dubbing them the Future 50. And they span from, you know, anything from algae to grains to meat-like mushrooms, which is one of my favorite plants for sure. The good news is that several of these crops are the ones that many gardeners are already growing. And I'm going to go through a list of 10 of those crops that are easy to incorporate into a home garden while also providing a high yield. And those two are definitely criteria for what I put in my very own garden. Okay, in no particular order, broad beans or fava beans. In addition to the dried beans, the green pods can also be eaten when young, they say, providing even more nutrition for people. Second on my list is pumpkin flowers and leaves. Who knew that you could actually eat pumpkin flowers and leaves? According to this report, the flowers have a delicate pumpkin flavor and are high in many nutrients, including vitamin C. The leaves, which taste, they say, like a combination of asparagus and broccoli and spinach, they contain iron, carotenoids, and vitamin K, and can be eaten fresh when young. Third on the list is okra, and I have experience growing that just the past couple of years. It grows all over the world, and it's heat and drought tolerant. It contains lots of antioxidants. One, two, three, fourth on the list are orange-skinned tomatoes. Now, while grown just like red-skinned tomatoes, orange tomatoes are less acidic and can contain up to twice as much vitamins A and B than their red counterparts. So why grow a different color? Well, really, the demand for lesser grown varieties increases the diversity of the food supply and helps make it more resilient. Fifth on the list, beet greens. And it's really the most nutritious part of the whole beet plant. I have just been using those myself for the past 5 or 6 years, and they are delicious. Use them just like Swiss chard. And also use the stems. Quite delicious. Sixth on my list is broccoli rabe. It's high in vitamins A, C, and K. It's a quick crop that can be harvested in about 8 weeks from planting. And it has a really great taste. Maybe a tiny bit bitter, but boil it in a little, or blanch it in a little water first. That takes the bitterness out. Kale is seventh on my list. And this one is packed with vitamins A, C, and K as well. And also manganese and copper. And it's just super easy to grow. You can eat it at pretty much any stage. Little baby seedlings, all the way up to the full-grown plant. Spinach is eighth on my list. And it is a wonderful plant. It's a fast grower. And it's packed with vitamins and nutrients. And it's amazingly versatile. Number nine on my list is red cabbage. Now, my dad used to grow red cabbage, and we had it in cabbage slaws and so forth, and I really liked it. And it has 10 times more vitamin A, twice as much iron, and it's way hardier than the green variety. So why aren't we all eating more red cabbage? Also, my grandmother really liked it. And number 10 is pak choi, or bok choy, as some people call it. And it's really described as a lettuce, but with a little bit more crunch. And you can eat it raw, or when you grow it a little bit larger, you can sauté that. Now, I would suggest taking a look at the list of 50 foods. What I just explained to you or listed to you, that's just a fifth of the 50 foods. There are just so many more familiar and what on earth is that type of crops that you, as an adventurous gardener, can take on. Given your growing conditions, garden size, and sense of discovery, you could really grow maitake mushrooms, watercress, walnuts, purple yams, teff, perhaps, prickly pear cactus, maybe even some seaweed. Me, I think I'm going to try the white icicle radishes. They say they deter squash-loving insects when you plant them with squashes. And you know, I have a problem with squash vine borer. Hey, I'll give anything a try to get rid of those pests. Well, thanks again. This is Ellen Wells with another Just Veggies podcast. And have a great spring gardening season.